This is the Good Neighbor Podcast, the place where local businesses and neighbors come together. Here's your host, Scott Guerrilla.
And good morning, everybody. Today we have with us Marwin Benemerito.
Benemerito, yes.
I can't believe I got that right on the first shot.
You got it right.
What an awesome name. So you're with the Therapy Hut.
Yes, sir. You know, basically, we are a pediatric therapy clinic. We used to have speech and PT, but currently we don't have it. So we're basically centered now with my profession, which is occupational therapy. And so we specialize, we do a lot of pediatrics, of course, a lot of the different diagnoses and all that stuff. But most of our load right now is basically autism and sensory processing disorders, behaviors, that kind of sort.
Where do you begin with those kinds of things?
Anywhere. I mean, I can pretty much set you up on a big seminar now, but we don't have the time.
Well, what kind of advice would you give to people for the determination as to whether or not they should come and see you?
Well, I mean, usually when... Well, let's start with autism and sensory processing, because most of the time that's the most that I do get. And it's usually parents that have problems with, let's just say, behavior is the main thing, you know, and also delays in development. They have a kid, 1, 2 years old, suddenly they stop developing, or they're already talking and they stop talking, you know, kind of like that one. Or anything, any delay, really. If you see any delay that's not in line with what you should be seeing with your kid, like let's say he's more than 1 year old and still not walking, kind of like that, you know, then, you know, you might want to see your doctor so they can order occupational therapy. And I usually tell a lot of my parents to really start early, because especially with autism-like signs and symptoms, because the earlier we can really work, especially on their brain, because it's really a neurological thing, is, you know, the faster we can get improvement, or, and maybe in some cases, you know, change the direction of how their autism is going. And sometimes we've had kids where we were able to change their diagnoses because we started early and kind of stopped the progression of the autism or the sensory processing problems from escalating.
Oh, very interesting. Mm-hmm. What is the first step to remediating that progression? I mean, you've got, what do you do for them to make that work?
So in terms of the process, of course, you know, they see the doctors and, you know, pediatrician. Unfortunately, not everybody's equal. So mm-hmm. Some pediatricians say, he might grow out of it, or, you know, and I usually caution against that, just because by the time you figure out it's not going anywhere, you know, it's down 6 months down the road and you're 6 months behind, you know. So I usually recommend that if they see any initial signs, just go to their doctor, ask for the doctor to give you an occupational therapy, you know, order for evaluation and treatment. And basically, like with us, again, that's the whole problem, too. It's like not all occupational therapists are created equal. Some of them specialize in different things. So you have to find somebody, like if you have autism, like, or sensory like behaviors, that, you know, got to find somebody that's really versed with it. And that way they can help you immediately. So it's just that when we get them that early, quick, if they don't need it, you'll be out of therapy in just a few weeks or even a month or so. If you need it, then, you know, basically you got the help that you need immediately, you know, rather than waiting 6 months down the road to see if they're going to grow out of it, you know.
Is this typically paid for by insurance or self-pay, or how does this work?
And the main one is insurance. Unfortunately, I am not in network with every insurance, but insurance that's is the bulk of the business. But then there are people that self-pay just because, well, the good thing is that people talk, you know, more current patients or their moms and dads, they talk and they spread the word. They help spread around the word around, and I do get a lot of referrals from patients themselves. And so, you know, good, they put a good word out there, and the next one comes in, you know. So, yeah, but then some of them self-pay just because they want the services that we have provided, and because we have, we basically really try to help them, you know, when I talk to them about their problems. What we've seen is that I'm a very big proponent of spreading out the why of things happen, and so they hear me say, you know, this is my kid, and I tell them that the reason that's happening is this and this is why, you know, and the more they hear the whys, I kind of get them hooked.
Well, that is a lot. Sometimes it's a questions you have to know to ask, I think.
Right. Well, you know, you have a kid that's suddenly spinning in the middle of the room, and you're like, okay, nobody can tell them what it is, you know, but I can't, you know, and that's where I come in and said, oh, they're actually basically feeding their sensory systems. And they're like, what do you mean they're feeding their sensory systems? Well, some kids, they need all this movement and input in order for them to regulate and function like Goldilocks, have to be in that proper place, proper seat. So, you know, in order for you to function, you have to be, you know, homeostasis, what it is. So you have to regulate. And sometimes in order, these kids, because they haven't had anybody work with them, like with occupational therapy, let's say, their brain is going to figure out a way to feed their needs. And so they, you know, sometimes it's an accidental thing where they start spinning and they're like, oh, that feels good. And so it actually makes them calm. And so guess what? That makes me calm. That makes me feel good. Like any human being, I'm going to keep doing that. You know, every time I don't feel right, I have to spin, you know, or if I can't concentrate on my work, I have to stand and get out of my chair, regardless of what the teacher says, you know? So, yeah. So you have those things where that's why they're the most of these kids are the most misunderstood kids, because people think that they don't follow instructions and all, but what they're actually doing is answering their physiological need, and movement takes care of it. And so the problem, though, is like if you don't have a teacher or even a therapist that doesn't really work with these types of things, they look at it as disobedience and, you know, label the kid bad and all the stuff. And all the while, these kids try to be good, but their brains are basically, you know, stopping them from doing what they're supposed to. You know, because it shuts down the thinking part of the brain, because it's basically your survival brain that's in charge with the problems of these kids.
Very interesting. What credentials do you have to do what you do, and what got you into the business?
Well, I'm an occupational therapist. They basically came here actually in the United States in 1994. I was actually hired by Baptist Hospital and flew in here. You know, they flew me in here, gave me, you know, 6 months of living, or no, 6 weeks of an apartment to use and all that stuff. But basically started here, an occupational therapist. I was trying to see if I was going to get my master's. So I have a bachelor's degree back in the Philippines. But the school I went to was what we call a World Federation OT school, which is basically equal to a US school. So all I needed to do was basically come here and take the boards, which I passed, which is good. And yes. and then from there on, now if you're an OT now, you have to, they're changing over to doctorate level now as entry level. Unfortunately, more money for that. But, you know, with me, it's just a continuous education of like educating myself. I never really did know much more about this sensory thing and autism in a way when I first graduated, but after working on a lot of kids here in the, I actually worked in the Memphis City Schools when it was still Memphis City Schools, and I saw a lot of issues there with these kids. Like they don't seem to respond to like discipline and all that stuff. You know, you think, you know, discipline would work, or you know, and I just that just got me interested in it. And then another therapist was helping a child there, and she introduced me to sensory processing disorders, and that's where I got, you know, really interested with it. Studied, went to weekend seminars for that and all, then started working with the kids. And you know, initially, once I found out the history about it, I figured I was one of those myself when I was young. So I kind of start understanding how they work, you know, like, as people think it's in their head. No, yeah, it's in their head, but it's actually true. That's what's happening to them. So like, let's say an example would be like, let's say if I touch you, you know, on your skin like that, of course, your brain tells you you've been touched, right? Mm-hmm. But their sensory system can be very skewed, that you touch them like you're just touching somebody softly, but in their minds, they're being scratched.
Huh.
You know, so what happens is because their sensory system interprets it as a scratch and sends it to their thinking brain, well, guess what? Their thinking brain reacts to the scratch. And so you see kids with unequal responses, like, you know, I just touched the kid and he smacked me. Well, he smacked you because he thinks you scratched him, and that's how they got into trouble a lot. Just because, like I said, it's not a disobedience thing. It's just that if their reality is this, they're gonna react that way. It's, you know, how we it's like, let's say you see a lot of autism kids cover their ears, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people don't realize that in their minds, all this sound that's coming in is basically as loud as a jet engine. And, you know, what do you do when there's a jet engine beside you? You know, you cover your ears, you know, protect your ears and all that stuff. And so you get a very different way of perceiving the world and thus respond differently to the world itself too, which, of course, you know, other people are like, what is happening? You know,
I've wondered these things myself. That's very interesting stuff. Fascinating.
Right.
Wow. So do you have any very endearing stories where you were able to change somebody's life to such an extent that the family was just blown away by it?
Well, that's, you know, that's always a blessing, really. The funny thing is sometimes I even have people that call me. Well, they call, right, for their referral. They say, okay, they know this is a therapy place, or their doctors referred them. But sometimes the problem is they don't have good insurance, or what it is, we can't work with the insurance because we're out of network. And of course, I understand that, you know, it's a big budget thing, you know, for each family to shell out money for healthcare and all that stuff. And so, but then I talk to them and say, what's your problem? It's like, and then before then they tell me everything, and then I start telling them the whys and all the stuff. And then the best thing about it is when I hear responses like, it's like, you know my kid without seeing the kid. And it's like, well, it's just because I know how their brain responds, you know? So, and that's why I can tell you certain things. You tell me there's a sleeping problem, and it's all over the place too. You got sleeping problems, eating problems with them. They're picky eaters sometimes. They don't like clothing. They, you know, and it can affect, or they act like they have a stomach pain, and there's nothing, but then go to the doctor, but there's nothing wrong with their stomach. You know, it's because their senses are just throwing out all these signals the wrong way, you know? And so, and the other thing is they're not coordinated. So some of them can't talk or have a hard time talking. And then the other thing is some of them don't have a hard time writing. And some people just think that, you know, they're just not doing enough. When the reality is, it's so hard to coordinate my hands, you know. Mm-hmm. But then it's so, I also call it as an inconsistency syndrome, because people get what do you call this? There will be something, areas that they'll be good at, and people are like, well, why can he do this but then can't do that, you know? And that's where the sensory thing is, you know, because you're able to control certain things of your sense, especially if you like them. You know, like everybody that likes something, you know, you can get over certain fears, you know, and all that stuff. So the same thing with them, you know, they can do that and all that stuff. So, but the best one I've had is like, I just needed one session to change this family's life, basically. And what happened was, mom calls me, she said her daughters have been having physical therapy for a year now, trying to get her to walk right, and because she couldn't walk well and all this stuff. And then she told me a lot of the things that she was having problems. And then when she told me, it's like she's walking on broken glass, the way she walks. And then she doesn't want to put pressure on her feet, so you can't walk when you don't want to put pressure on your feet, you know? So I told her, it's like, maybe it's a sensory processing thing. You know what? Give me a time with her. Let me do an evaluation. And I usually do my evaluation like it's a treatment, so that they actually, because I know these kids haven't had any kind of we call it sensory diet. We call it, because it's like food for them, giving them the right sensory inputs. And so give me a time with her, and then we'll see what's happening. So she, they go show up that day. I did my evaluation, put her on a swing. Then we did treadmill work, got her to do the treadmill after the swing, because the swing actually calmed her down enough so that she can walk a little bit. She still needed help in the treadmill, like, and you need to get some of her weight by holding her arms and all this stuff. And then we did gym work, which was, you have to actually make them do a lot of their baby movements, like rolling, crawling, and all that stuff, making sure that they do it right. And because it actually helps with the development of their developmental patterns and their reflexes, basically. Because sometimes a lot of these kids have delayed reflexes from when they were still a baby. Even if they're 16 years old, some of them still have some of those reflexes present. And so, you got to integrate them, is what we call it. So that way they can actually function better. And so we do that and all, and it's fun. Like, and then we do this thing called, we brush the skin and we do joint compressions. And so you just bombard their sensory system with the proper sensory inputs. And so that went well. She actually started walking a little bit at the end of the session. So told the mom, okay, I'll call you. Probably it was Monday then. Call you probably Wednesday, maybe try to schedule again another session on Friday if you can. And they said yes. So I called Wednesday, and then I said, hey, I'm getting ready to get you to your Friday session. And the mom said, like, I don't think we're coming back. And I was like, oh, what? I was like, I hope this is not something that I did, because, when you hear something like that, I hope I didn't do something wrong, But then she said, no, we're not coming back, because she's like walking, she's like she's never had a problem before.
Wow.
and it's like, whoa. It's like, okay, I surprised myself with that one too. But yeah, she never came back and all. I've checked her out one time to see how they're doing, and she's been developing well, like the child that she's supposed to be. So and I was tell parents, like, okay, my goal is to get rid of myself. Because the child doesn't need therapy the entire time. So, and they like that, they like to hear that when your goal is to get rid of yourself.
Well, that sounds impressive.
Right, right. Yeah, that it's interesting how a lot of people still don't look at that sensory system of ours as part of actual, our foundations of our development. And so it gets missed a lot. So, and that's why I try to do a lot of seminars too outside, try to, really get the teachers involved, because that's where they see it. Most people see it. Most teachers see it in the classroom. And the unfortunate thing is, like I said, I hope they're not misunderstanding these kids as bad kids, because they're not, if you have a skewed perception of the world, you're going to act like crazy to somebody.
Yeah. Misunderstood.
Right. Yeah. One of the most misunderstood, actually, diagnoses too, really, if you, Go ahead.
I was going to say, what percentage of the population do you think is affected by autism?
Well, I mean, right now we're down to almost 1:30, I think, isn't it? I think, yeah. There's a lot. So for every 30 kids, there's going to be somebody. So, or something like that. I think that's the ratio. I can't remember right now what because I know it's been going down and down. So it's becoming more common,
Wow.
But I always say sometimes the problem is like autism and sensory, you know, I always tell people, okay, autism kids generally have sensory problems, but sensory kids don't necessarily have autism. So, you know, and sometimes severe sensory problems may present itself like they have autism. So that's a misdiagnosis sometimes too. But, you know, I always say, you know, just get them in there, in here, then we can work it out and see which one is which.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Well, how would people contact you best? What's the best avenue? Phone?
Email? Well, we do have a lot of ways to get us, you know, our main phone is 901-309-5219. That's the main phone number. Then we do have a website, therapyhut.com, and they can go there, and there's a way to you know, contact us through there. I mean, a lot of people sometimes do that, and they can fill up the form there and then shoot questions or like what they want to do. We also basically take interns here so that they can learn more about it too. So I get interns usually from the University of Memphis or, you know, and even some of the OT schools around. And then we have our Facebook page, Therapy Hut. Just type in Therapy Hut and it should come out to a page. There's two, actually. There's a page, there's a group. I usually tell a lot of people that's not patients yet to go to the page because that's the public one. And the group is kind of like if you've been a patient already here, because we have some things sometimes that we share in there that are very specific to each kid. And, of course, I need it to be in a, you know, you got all that compliance with privacy and all the time, as long as they're willing to share it in the group, and that's fine, but that's where it is. So, but there's a Therapy Hut page that in Facebook that they can also go to, you know.
Very nice. Where are you located?
We are here at in Cordova, Willow Tree Circle, 895 Willow Tree Circle. Basically, if you're familiar with Cordova, Germantown Parkway, there's a restaurant there called My Favorite Place. It's a Mexican restaurant. We're actually behind that one. So in order to get there, there's a road. There's a side road there that cuts through the office spaces from Germantown Parkway. It's kind of like in between Trinity and Macon, so that general area.
Okay, well, very good. Well, thank you for joining us.
No problem. Yeah, it was a pleasure.
My pleasure as well.
So, hopefully, thank you for listening to the Good Neighbor Podcast. To nominate your favorite local businesses to be featured on the show, go to gnpgermantown.com. That's gnpgermantown.com. Or call 901-350-6765.